What's up, traders? Welcome back to the Day Trading Show. As you can see, we're bringing you something special today. We're in the studio with the boys from Top One. First, I'm going to sit you down with the CEO, Matt Morris. We talk about a lot. We start off kind of heavy, so brace yourselves. It's going to be an incredible conversation from Matt's background, his entrepreneurship career, becoming a self-made millionaire at 29, to now becoming the CEO of Top One. So enjoy this conversation with Matt Morris. Let's jump into it.
At 13, my father committed suicide.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was my life at 13. You know, I need money bad. My mom's kicking me out anyway, so I'm like, well, I'll just live it out of my car. So I have a little Honda Civic. It was thinking grow rich. So my mom and I, like, super poor. We were, like, lived in a trailer park on food stamps, welfare, you know, not a great situation. So I always wanted money. Your financial success is equal to only three things. It's your level of skill times your level of effort times your financial vehicle. And most people just have the wrong financial vehicle. It doesn't matter how good they get, doesn't matter how hard they work, they're never going to become a millionaire. So at least get involved in something that allows you the opportunity to be a millionaire. Brother, you're risking way too much per trade. You shouldn't be risking more than 0.5% per trade. Your drawdown's super thin now, like cut down your risk, and they just blow the account and buy another one. It's like, we want to work with you long term. It's
right. Like you're really trying to. What you're saying is, I don't want to deal with the guys that are going to buy five accounts, fail four of them, and pass one of them in the same day.
That's it.
Top One Trader is the sponsor of today's video. If you're looking to get funded, especially if you're in the US, check out Top One Trader. There's a link in the description to save 20% off any funding challenge you take with them, and you can use it as many times as you like. So thank you to Top One for being the sponsor of today's video. Now let's get back to it. What's up, traders? Welcome back to the Day Trading Show. We've got a very special episode today. I'm in the studio with the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Matt Morris. Now, today for the podcast, I am running the transitions, as you can see, with the video camera. We're keeping it raw and authentic today, and I'm really looking forward to sitting down with you, Matt. So some of the listeners know that you are the CEO of Top One. As you have grown into this role, how do you introduce yourself to people nowadays?
That's a great question. I run a funding company in the day trading space, and it's interesting. No one has any idea. When you say, I run a prop firm, if you're not in the trading world, you don't know what it is, right? And I say, well, it's a funding company for day traders, and no one really understands how it works, right? So it's a weird thing.
You touch on the day trader thing, too, and that always makes people feel very polarizing. Some people love it. Some people hate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So before we get into talking a little bit about how you have become the CEO and the face on social media, you and Clay are doing a lot of marketing. People are starting to see you more now involving, you know, that's really what you guys want. It's part of the reason we're here today.
Yeah.
Who were you at 13, Matt?
At 13.
That's my first question for you. Who was the 13-year-old Matt? What was he like?
It's interesting that I had no idea you were going to ask that question, but at 13.
I saved that for a special guest, just so you know.
Yeah. Ah, there we go. At 13, my father committed suicide.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was my life at 13, you know? What's that, 7th grade, 8th grade kind of time frame?
Hormones raging.
Yeah,
so. Figuring out if you like girls or boys or whatever.
There was never much of a question on that, but,
of course. You know. Bro, that is crazy. Yeah. I did not expect you to say that. So as you move forward, I'm sure that that event was very pivotal in how the rest of your teenage years went. Where were you at this time? Were you in Texas?
Yeah, so I was in Texas, and I had to go back a little bit to give you a little bit of context. So my parents divorced when I was about 4 years old. My father murdered my mom's boyfriend about a year later. Yeah, so dad went to prison, was raging alcoholic, you know, came out of prison, seriously depressed, and it was interesting growing up because dad was, you know, he was my hero, like, you know, most dads are, and loved him, and then he goes away to prison, not really kind of understanding that, you know, you're 5, 6, and other kids, you know, were at football games and stuff, they're saying, oh, where's your dad? I go, oh, he's out of town, right? So I always felt like I was very different than all the other kids, not in a special way, but in a non-special way, right? And it felt like, I guess if there was a recurring theme, it was kind of like an abandonment because, you know, he went to prison and then he came back and we reconnected. And then a few years later, he was gone. He kind of skipped town. I lived with him for a little while and then I moved back in with my mom and all kinds of crazy just drama from him. But yeah, there was a time frame where it was, you know, birthday would go by and didn't hear from him because he was just, you know, sick, really, with alcoholism. And so we had reconnected right before he committed suicide. Maybe it was 9 months or so before he committed suicide. I went out to see him. He was living in Colorado. And, yeah, came home and was a big shock when my, you know, grandmother came and, you know, told me the news. It was, like, really hard to believe. But yeah, so that's where I was at 13. And, you know, there's everyone's like, oh, it must have devastated you. And it's obviously something really hard to go through, but I think for whatever reason, I had the ability to like, yeah, it sucks, but it just kind of is what it is, you know?
I can relate to that more than you know.
Yeah?
Yeah, like when my mom had her aneurysm, I was the only one in the hospital who wasn't crying, breaking down, thinking the world was over. It is what it is. Let's focus on what we can control. We can't control these other things.
Yeah.
You can't control the actions that other people or that God and the universe, whatever you want to believe in, may have for your family and your friends. So I think that is something where we both, it seems like that's what you're saying, right? You were more like, I can't control it, so it just kind of is what it is. Like, it already just happened.
Yeah, it was interesting. I remember going to therapy and through a few sessions, and I remember the last session, and the therapist was like, you know, talking to my mom, and she's going like, he's really okay. Yeah, he's good.
It's amazing.
So, really strong mother. And so
that's what I was going to ask next. Tell me about your mother.
Yeah. So mom was a, single mom working, you know, a couple jobs, working her way through college. She worked her way through law school. She became an attorney when I was in high school and became a judge, right? Retired as a judge. And so she was always, you know, my hero because I saw her always going after her dreams. It was like very, very challenging. Obviously, she went through a lot of crap. But yeah, it was huge inspiration. So very strong woman.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So take us a little bit forward. 21-year-old Matt, where are we now?
Yeah, 21-year-old, in college, kind of barely getting by. I just had the entrepreneurial bug, right?
So, what were you doing? What were you selling?
Man, anything and everything.
That's the answer, and it always is. Where were you going to school? Are you in Texas still?
In Texas. I went to UT Austin. Okay, I went for 3 years, got about 2 years worth of credit.
Bro, you are a real Texas man. You should have shown up in a cowboy hat and boots.
Boots, I know. But
okay, good. So you're
for another show.
Yeah, for another show.
So yeah.
You were slinging the entrepreneurial gene around.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I got involved in network marketing and then just direct selling. And I mean, at one point, I was selling a tax education program.
Really?
And trying to, you know, just like
trying to make money.
Yeah, that was it. Super motivated.
Would you say you'd found your passion at that point?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I had the bug, and it was interesting because it was like, yes, this is the place where I want to live. Like, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to be a millionaire. I'm committed to it and all this. But I also kind of was like, well, I also can, you know, should maybe get a job and climb the corporate ladder. And so I was a little bit torn between the two. And it was interesting because when I was 21, I had basically lost everything. I had maxed out all my credit cards. I couldn't pay even the minimum balance. I moved back in with my mom, and I'm trying to, like, you know, run businesses and be an entrepreneur. I have no job. I'm also, at the time, I'm 21. I'm partying. I'm going out. Like, any money I've got,
balance,
I'm spending
it
on beer
right there.
And girls.
Balance
and,
right there.
Yeah,
people.
Exactly.
Right.
Which, you know. So she pulls me aside one day, and she says, you know, Matt, I've figured it out. You're adult enough to drop out of college. You're adult enough to have your own business. You're also adult enough to pay rent. So pay me rent at the end of the month or move out. And I was like, knife in the back.
Of
I'm
course.
Like, how could you not enable my party habits?
Of course. You're kicking the door down on the party.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, shit, I'm gonna have to get a job. So I went, got the newspaper back when we, you know, remember
dating
those?
Yourself here.
I know. So I'm looking through the ads, and there was an ad, and it was like, you know, outside sales make $10,000 a month, $10,000 to $20,000 a month. I'm like, all right, cool. I call. It was selling swimming pools, above ground swimming pools.
Interesting.
So I go in for the interview, and they run commercials for this pool, and it's like a $400 swimming pool, and your job is to go like to their house and try and upsell them to a $9,000 pool or a $7,000 pool. So anyway, I go through the training, and I'm thinking, well, I'm going to be calling on people in Dallas. And they said, well, the leads that we have for you, they're in Louisiana.
Oh.
And I have no money. I don't get paid commissions until the pool gets installed, which is like 8 weeks out. So, but they have all these leads and appointments that they'll set up for me, and I need money bad. My mom's kicking me out anyway, so I'm like, well, I'll just live it out of my car. So I have a little Honda Civic. Had been wrecked twice. I got rear-ended, caved in the back, so you could like hear air as you're driving. The air is just it's like a window is open.
Dude.
And I got like this was like a year ago. I got like $2,500 to fix it, and I just kept the money rather than have the car repaired.
Because true entrepreneur, right?
Exactly.
There.
So I was like, all right, I'll just live out of my car, and I think I borrowed a little bit of money from my mom just to have food and gas, right? And, slept out of my car every night for, like, 2 months.
Do you remember the first close, like, where you finally got a check from the pools?
What's so funny is I didn't get a check until I got off the road. So I had a friend of mine who I went to college with, and he was working for a software company. And I would call him every once in a while on the road just to, you know, catch up, one of my best friends, and I'm like, you know, living out of my car. Here's what I slept last night. And there's so many like crazy stories being homeless and, you know, living out of your car. And so he's like, I'm going to try and get you a job at this company. It was a startup software company. And so long story short, he ended up getting me an interview. And so I drove from Southern Louisiana to Austin, cleaned up, went on the interview. They hired me. They said, when can you start? I said, tomorrow.
Wow. So you never got a check from the pools?
No, I did.
You did, but it was after you went back and did this other interview.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah, so.
Okay. How did the software sales go? Was that really something that interested you?
Yeah, it was cool. It was a startup company, and it was this internet search technology. Again, this is dating me. This is like 2000.
Yeah, but also like Austin was like kind of becoming a tech hub.
Yeah, big time.
Right.
Big time. So the company raised $18 million.
Which was a lot.
Still
is a lot.
I actually went with the CEO. It was cool because it was mainly programmers with the company, and my one of my best friends, he was like the sales guy, and they hired me as just kind of like a marketing sales, like help with whatever. And so you never wanted to have the programmers in front of a client or the VC funds because they would be like, yeah, the software blows up when you do this. And so I learned how to demo the software
and sell it the right way.
Help him sell it.
Really. Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, that was fun. That lasted a couple years. And it was interesting because I kind of lost the entrepreneurial bug. Like, it was still in me.
Because you were working for somebody else.
Yeah, but I'm making, you know, I'm 20, what was I, 22, 23 at the time, and I'm making, you know, 50 grand a year, which back in those days was 99, 2000, you know, 2001. That was, you know, good money for a young
very
guy.
Good money. Yeah.
So I could pay all my bills.
Yeah.
I was paying off credit cards.
Right.
Like, I'm finally like, I'm normal again. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, you're working, you know, morning, night,
all
weekends, all the time, right? And so it was like, man, I can go from like 9 to 5.
And then go home and do whatever else I want, not have to think about it, which honestly is nice. I think a lot of people forget that, you know, entrepreneurs are normal people too, and we do kind of like to have a life sometimes, you know what I mean?
We say we want freedom, right?
Yes.
And this way, I want to own my life and
right.
be an entrepreneur, and you end up working 18 hours a day.
Exactly. Yeah. My wife talks to me about this all the time. She's like, do you have a plan to fix this? Because like, this is not what we started ASFX for.
That's
but
right.
When you're in the hustle mode, I think part of being an entrepreneur is knowing, there's going to be weekends in the future where I don't work, but right now I'm still hustling. If you still have big dreams and big goals, you're going to be hustling for a little
bit.
You know? So you got to find balance too along the way.
For sure.
So you went from the software sales. Did you finish your degree?
Yeah. No, never did.
That was one thing I wanted to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
My family gives me a ton of shit.
Do they?
For not finishing my degree.
Yeah.
And with my dad passing last year, it has come up even more again where we see how much he even held a grudge over me.
Yeah.
When it came to me not finishing the degree, he
That's
saved
fascinating.
Up. Unbelievable. What's even more fascinating is not the fact that my dad could hold a grudge, because people are people and they can hold grudges. What was most interesting is that it was about money.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the end of the day, just like we know relationships have problems, they come down to money a lot of the time. When it's between like a husband and a wife, man and whatever. But like it was always just about the money. Not about why are you leaving college? What opportunity does this person see? Oh, he's quitting something? He's a failure. That was what it made me feel. And even to this day, I've been talking to some of my family recently. They see me as this, like, no joke, bro, unemployed, long-haired Florida boy that doesn't know what he's doing. It's very interesting how stuck people used to be, not as much anymore. Mm-hmm. One, you need a degree to get a job.
Oh, for sure.
So what did you have any of that friction, or did people support you wholeheartedly?
Not so much. My mom was pretty much like, I grew up and it was like, you have to get a college degree. Right. In fact, she had her plan, and she even told me years
Especially because she was a lawyer. She was a judge. Like, she believed
that
in
was her whole thing. Yeah. She busted her ass and worked as a waitress 100%. And typing papers for people and all this stuff to work.
My dad was
an
attorney, too, just so you know.
Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Amazing. So we'd be driving by and, you know, road construction workers, and she'd say, that's what you get to do if you don't go to college.
Bro. Yes.
Dude, all the time.
All the time. Talking down on that.
Yeah. And so that's kind of how I was programmed. Yeah. And then when I saw the entrepreneurial world and I start meeting these multimillionaires who never got a college degree.
And also like, work now at that point way less hours.
Yeah.
They're not lifting a shovel and doing that. Yeah. Right. So there was this other thing. But I think.
But what's interesting, my grandmother, who was still like caught up in this, you know, he doesn't have security. Right. So when I was like 24, 25. I'm making, you know, multiple six-figure year income, working like crazy, loving life. I'm like, man, I've finally made it.
Yeah.
And I'm just like beyond happy because I had so many years of struggle. It was like 5-6 years in the game, like trying everything. And I just keep failing and trying and failing and trying and failing, beating myself up inside and like wondering, man, maybe I'm not cut out for this entrepreneurial thing. And it was just so tough. And I made it. So happy. And my grandma sits me aside one day and she's like, Matt, I know you're doing your business thing. But, you know, at the time, Dell Computers was a big deal. And she's like, you know, if you finish your college degree, you could be an executive at Dell Computers. And I just had to, like, love her where she's at. And I was like, yeah, that's just not for me, you know. It's like that the worst possible thing for me would be an executive at Dell at the time, you know.
My dad would come to see me in Florida and tell my mom, Austin makes more money than I've ever made in a year. And at the same time, tell my wife while he's here in Florida, the only regret I have really in life is that Austin didn't get a job at a company where he's a part of a team building this bigger thing or a government job.
Wow.
So very similar.
Fascinating, yeah.
And I'm like, just, if you even know me,
yeah,
you know I'm not working for the government, bro. Yeah. Like, no way am I going to fit in there. Right. So I think it is a very stuck place, and I think a lot of the listeners can definitely relate to that because I think trading – is an entrepreneurial venture in itself. Put aside being a CEO of a prop firm, put aside running an education business, all of that. Trading on its own, to run your own trading business, is to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't make the connection out loud. Maybe they understand that. But if you do make that connection, I think it gets easier to understand why people don't accept you. Most people don't accept entrepreneurs until they are successful.
Sure.
And even if it's out of, like you said, safety, they want us to be safe, which family, a lot of the times, that's what it is. I don't think that's actually positive encouragement. You should encourage people to take risks because really what happens, as time goes by, taking risks gets harder. You get more responsibilities, you get more money, you get more conservative. That is typically what happens. So really we should continue to encourage risk taking because it's almost in our DNA to get risk averse as time goes by.
As a parent, I'm super conscious of that because I see most parents, and I always like be at a theme park and the kids like, you know, gets on a rail or something, and the parents like, be careful, be careful, be careful. And I just, because I got into, you know, personal development and mindset and all this, and I'm like, man, everyone's programmed to just take no risks.
Right.
And I'm like, I got to be the opposite as a parent.
Yeah.
So, and I struggle with it because you want to protect your children. And you're like, be careful. And then I'm like, oh, crap. I'm like, go farther, jump farther, you know.
Exactly.
Like, climb the tree higher. And if they break their arm, but at least I'm not like,
at least you're not conditioning them to think, be safe.
To be scared of everything.
Scared of things.
To take any chance.
Grant Cardone, I know you were on his show. We'll talk about that in a second. Yeah. But he had a post up where he fired a nanny because the nanny kept telling the kids, be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Right.
Be careful.
Yeah.
I think that is, again, so people look at him and say he's an extremist.
Yeah.
I would look at him and say he does still make a valid point.
For sure.
So let's talk about the personal development.
It's so funny. It just reminded me of this story. I was in France one time. I'm with my kid at a park, and there was a little boy who was on the, like, little boy. Mm-hmm. And he was on the monkey rails, and he's stuck. And he starts screaming because he can't, like, get down. And I'm like, I want to help this kid. And so I go grab him, and I put him down. And then I hear this guy speaking French.
And he's like, why'd you do that?
And it was the dad.
Of course.
And he goes like
no,
this
no,
to
no.
me.
Let
no,
him
no,
fall.
No, no, no. Let him fall.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Europeans do some things right, bro.
Yeah.
Americans think we got it all right, especially you people in Texas. You can't tell a Texan that Europe has got it right.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They do have some things that I do like.
Yeah,
let's talk about the personal development stuff, because I think that is where a lot of people who have heard of you will know you from the books, from the personal development, from the network marketing world. So give me like an overview of what that was like for you. The first network marketing company you got into and how you got into speaking on stage and everything.
So I, when I was in college, I signed up at Amway, right? And I never made any money with it, but it was a great learning experience. My sponsor, who got me started, we were working as waiters, banquet waiters, servers, and cute girl, and she kept initiating conversation with me, and we're serving at a banquet one night, and at the end, she says, "You ever think about being in business for yourself?" And I want to build rapport with her, so I'm like, "Yeah, all the time.
Of course, I dream about that."
She goes, "Write your number down, and we'll talk business sometime." And I was like, "All right. I'd love to talk business with you."
Amazing. You're like, even better. We'll talk business all you want.
So she calls me the next day and is like, "Hey, remember from last night?" I go, yeah. She goes, "Hey, well, so wanted to see if you wanted to meet up at the Hilton Hotel tomorrow night and talk business about 7 o'clock. And I'm like,
"Sounds like a date.
All right. Business, hotel, cute girl, I'm in."
Say less.
Yeah. So I show up and she is wearing a suit. And a business suit, and I'm not, right? And she's like, "Oh, I'm so glad you can make it. Let me introduce you to some of my colleagues."
Boom, she says. That's how the typical network marketing thing is. They set you up with the upline.
Yeah, dude, I didn't even know what the word colleague meant.
Right, you're like, Matt's got a pocket full of condoms. He's like, "This is going to be a great date." Meanwhile, she's in a Hillary Clinton pantsuit, and she's ready to, you know, get you signed up for Amway.
Yeah, so she brings me into a meeting. The guy starts, I remember this like it was yesterday, like the defining moment of my life where he explained residual income. And he's like, "You sign up here and you refer people here and here and here." And so it was like, you know, you enroll someone in Dallas, who enrolls someone in Austin, who enrolls someone in New York, they enroll someone in New York and then Australia,
and make a little
bit
of
money and all of that. And I was like, "All right, I'm in." Yeah. Right. And having no idea how difficult it was going to be. Like, oh my God. But she gave me like, it was probably the next night we met to get my kit, right? And she gave me a copy of Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Mm,
that was the first book I read about business.
Is it?
I remember listening to it in the sauna in high school every day after school.
Dude, I read that, and I just remember thinking, why is this not required reading in school? It opened my mind up to something totally new. And I remember it was Think and Grow Rich. So my mom and I, like, super poor. We were, like, lived in a trailer park on food stamps, welfare, you know, not a great situation. So I always wanted money. So I'm like, grow rich, I'm in. And in the beginning of the book, it says, within this book lies the secret of success. And I was like, ha, awesome. So I read the book, and it never said the secret of success is this.
Nope.
So I was like, I must have been daydreaming. You know, sometimes you read a whole page and you miss it.
Right, like you're not absorbing the information.
Yeah. So I read it again with a highlighter, and I'm like looking for I'm not going to daydream.
I'm going to comprehend this. I'm going to get it.
The secret.
Yeah.
So I read the book a second time, and it never says the secret of success.
It doesn't say it in there, right.
So I was like, shit, what they mean is to figure it out. Like, the secret's in here. You figure it out for yourself. So I read the book a third time, and this is like a few days. I'm like, I read the book in like 3 days, and then another 3 days, and another 3 days, right? So and what I got was like, all right, I'm going to look for commonalities. Like, what was the theme? And, you know, if you're a listener and you know the theme, Napoleon Hill interviewed the 400 wealthiest people in the world and basically figured out, like, how does their mind work and what was it that allowed them to have so much success? Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I noticed is, like, everyone struggled massively. Everyone, and with no exceptions. And it was this word that kept coming up over and over and over, and it was just determination. And I was like, that's it.
You know what word I take from that book? Manifestation. So it's very similar to what you're saying. Because like you said in the book, it doesn't actually tell you what to do. But through learning those stories, what I took out of it was that if you think it, you can create it.
Sure.
A lot of the people that he interviewed, they weren't following a mold. They were recreating, especially at that time in American history, you know what I mean? Like to interview people through the Industrial Revolution and the turn of American ingenuity, really. It'd be much different to do a Think and Grow Rich 2023. You'd be having TikTokers and YouTubers, bro. It'd be way different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just think about how much money someone – But that manifestation of like, I want to – create my own.
Yeah.
What those people all have in common too.
Thoughts become things. You become.
Now we're in Tony Robbins land,
right? Most of the time. Yeah, for sure.
But it works. It's very true. So let's stay to the hot girl and the Amway date. So she gets you in there. Did you sign up right after that? Were you in?
Yeah, I signed up. And
sold.
And I just remember, and this was another big lesson for me as a leader, was at the end of the presentation, I was like all in on making money, but I'm like, I don't know if I can do it, confused and all this. Well, she introduced me to someone else, her upline basically. And he talked to me for a little bit and he goes, you know what? You're a really sharp guy. You can do this. And that's what I needed to hear.
A little confidence boost.
Was that I could do it.
A little pat on the ass. Yeah. Come on, get in the game.
That's it. And I was like, yeah, maybe I can. It's, you know, and that's what so many people need to hear is like, you can do this.
Keep especially going. As a man, because I know we share similar beliefs in a lot of things. Like when you're being a man and you grow and you want to continue to be successful in everything that you do, from fatherhood to business, sometimes all you need is a little support.
Sure.
And then it's like, there's many scenes in many movies where it's like, he's down and out, blood on the face, he's ready to give up. But then his girl comes in and she just smiles at him and he's like, yeah,
that's it.
And then he goes Super Saiyan and he goes and gets it whatever done he needs to get done. You know what I mean?
It's interesting because I feel like, you know, we all need someone to believe in us. And in many cases, we also need someone who doesn't.
I hope you're enjoying today's video. Before we keep going, I just want to take a second to talk to you about the Black Shirt Club. This is our 12-week intense mentorship program, which over the last year has helped 150, a couple more than that, different traders pass their funding challenges and get paid out. So if you're looking to get funded in this new year, if you're looking to change your trading for life, the Black Shirt Club can do that for you. I'm very confident in this program because we've had so much success. So instead of me standing here to continue to ramble about it, I'm going to tell you two things. First, tap the link below, book a call with me. Let's see if you're a good fit for the club. I'll tell you about what's required. You can ask me any questions. There's also a link down below that lists all the information that's included in the Black Shirt Club, so I don't have to stand here and ramble about it. But also, if the Black Shirt Club interests you, this is something that I want you to move on quickly because I am raising the price of the program. We've had so much demand, the wait list is long enough that it warrants the price going up this year. So if it's something that interests you, get on my calendar now. Use the link down below, book a call with me, and like I said, we'll see if you're a good fit for the program. So thanks again for listening to the video. Hopefully I'll see you in the Black Shirt Club soon. Let's get back to it.
Because we got that chip on our
shoulder. Now we're getting into the PBD, know your enemies.
Like, yeah, know your enemy, right? Like, who's the one who's like said you can't do it and you're going to go prove him wrong?
I think you need that.
Yeah.
It's my dad for me in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Even though at the end he did understand like where I was, and so he saw me go from nothing to actually building a successful business.
Yeah.
Still, I like to have that motivator.
Sure. For me, it was a lot of my friends.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, want to be an entrepreneur and all this. And they all got jobs. And when I started my entrepreneurial venue, they were always like, made your millions yet?
Of course, bro.
You top of the pyramid yet?
But then when you do make your millions, you got room on that boat yet?
Always knew you could do it.
Right? Can I come on the boat? Can I fit in the jet this weekend?
Yeah.
Okay, so then that's the network marketing side of it a little bit. How big would you say, comparative to like some of the other network marketing companies, how big did Amway make you as a person? Because, you know, you see a lot of guys that go through network marketing. I think Eric War is one of the guys who's very famous.
Yeah,
Alex Morton. Some of these guys that, you know, Alex. Yeah. Sure. So, like, I mean, I got into Vimo when I was in college through Alex Morton. Yeah. So, like, that was one of the first things I did as an entrepreneur. How big did it make Matt Morris?
So that was everything for me. In fact, I'm super grateful for that because it developed the mindset. It got me hooked on reading the right books, listening to the right audios, and training the mind. Right. And it was the whole philosophy of if you grow people, you'll grow a big business. Right. And
good one.
And that is how I built my network marketing career. It's how I built every business I've had is like you just have to build people, whether it's your employees. If it's the customer service person who's making, you know, $10 an hour, if you build that person, if you train them, they're going to have crazy levels of loyalty. Because if you, this goes back to Tony Robbins, like one of the six core human needs is growth. And most people aren't getting growth in whatever environment they're in. And so when they come into my environment, I want my environment to be this environment of transformation, an environment of growth. And so that's really what I got out of that because, you know, what made Amway the biggest network marketing company out there, I believe had nothing to do with the products, you know, nothing to do with the compensation, had everything to do with the training system.
The people.
You know, it was all about growth.
When you were pushing Amway, did you go to family and friends first?
Did
you cold call people?
I did. I went to family and friends, and that, of course, didn't work at all. And they're not going to refer anyone. And then it was cold, like trying to meet people in grocery stores and all that.
So here's an interesting thought. This is why I ask. If you're somebody who is in trading, trying to figure it out right now, there's a lot of people who are in your challenge or trying to do network marketing because it's sales. could be a second career or side-by-side career that complements trading really well, couldn't it? Because trading shouldn't take you all day every day.
Sure. You know, it's interesting because I could say yes. I'm a big fan of network marketing. Obviously, you made a lot of money there. It takes such a massive commitment. They're both very, very hard.
I made it seem too easy, didn't I?
Yeah, they're very hard.
Yeah.
And that was something that I feel like I did that was very different than a lot of network marketing leaders.
Did
where
you committed?
I committed, but I was never the guy saying, just get in, it's easy.
Got it.
I was the one saying, it's hard, but it's worth it.
Okay.
And I think trading is so synonymous with network marketing. It's the same, you know, obviously you need very different skill sets, but it's hard. And in any opportunity, if you want to get very, very wealthy, it's going to be hard, right? And so most people get good at their job. They work hard at their job. But it's not something worth working hard at. It's not something worth getting good at. So one of my early mentors said, if you're going
to
get good at something, get good at something worth getting good at.
Another good one. That's a good one.
And it is like what I've figured out for me, a very simple formula for success. It's your wealth, your financial success is equal to only three things. It's your level of skill times your level of effort times your financial vehicle. And most people just have the wrong financial vehicle. It doesn't matter how good they get. Doesn't matter how hard they work. They're never going to become a millionaire. So at least get involved in something that allows you the opportunity to be a millionaire, which is there in trading. It's there in network marketing. It's there in real estate. It's there in all these hard environments. But you got to be willing to go through the hard so that life can actually be easy, right?
So when was the first time you even heard about day trading? Because I feel like for someone in your position, day trading would never come up. Because when you're in network marketing and you're fully committed to this, it's a lot of self-development. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of things about like, yo, grind it out. Get on the phone. Get on your friends. Get on your referrals. Yeah. Trading is go on your own. Study a chart. Get into the books.
Yeah.
Get in your own head. Get into figuring you out. It's way different in a lot of ways too.
Here's how I found out about day trading. When I was a kid growing up, there was a guy who his son was a little bit younger than ours. He was like a neighbor of one of my good friends. And he was in insurance. And he was home like throughout the day. Like we'd get home from school and he'd be out like washing his boat or his cars, fancy cars, and we'd play football. And he had all this time freedom.
This is who I idolized to be for my son, just for the record, everybody. I want people to be like, Leo, what's your dad doing all the time? He's playing shuffleboard at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you went and you asked him.
So that's who like super respected this guy. Then we kind of like, you know, I didn't see him for a little while and then we reconnected and he sits me down one day. He's like, hey, let's have lunch. So I'm excited. Like, yeah, we have lunch. And he shows me his Forex trading.
Forex trading. Not even stockbroker.
No.
Forex.
This is back in 2002.
Dude.
Maybe 2001.
That's a long time
like
ago to be looking
OG
at
Forex
trading. Especially in the States.
So, yeah. So he's showing me 20% returns a month.
Wow.
And so he's like, I know you're making a lot of money. If you want to set up an account, I'll trade your account for you and make you these returns. And I was like, 20% a month sounds awesome. So I go to, I don't even remember who I set the account up with, TD Ameritrade or someone. And, you know, you can sign over trading access.
Sure.
And so I put $20,000 in an account. I'm 24, 25 years old. And within like 3 weeks, it's down to $10,000. So I'm like, this is a guy I trust, and like I call him, and he's like, yeah, I mean, just be patient, whatever. And I was like, screw this. So I just closed account. I like took the $10,000 that was left. So that was my idea of day trading.
Wow,
Forex trading.
So kind of a bad taste in your
mouth. Yeah, a little bit of a bad taste.
And what happened? I mean, did you ever talk to that guy again?
Yeah, here and there.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't like, I didn't hold it against him really, but.
And this is now years before Top One was even a thought.
Years before.
So then you kind of took a break from trading, or were you still trading in between?
No, I wasn't trading at all.
Stepped away.
I was investing in real estate, stocks,
doing
and
everything else.
Yeah, just normal stuff.
Yep.
And it came back, you know, many years later. I, being in, you know, network marketing, it's very entrepreneurial. And so there'd be, you know, day traders who would get started.
Yeah.
But I wasn't talking to a lot of people who were making money. They were always like, you know, struggling. And I got pitched on Trader's Domain.
No.
Yeah. So I start seeing returns. And I know you did a podcast on this. You were interviewing someone talking about it, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, shit, these returns are amazing. I see the track record. I've got one of my best friends
who was also in it.
Who's in it, and he's taking money out, and he put me on the phone with the trader.
Uncle Ted.
I talked to Ted, and I'm like, well, he's a little quirky, but I kind of like him. He shows me MT5 on the screen and everything, and I'm like, well, this seems totally legit. And it's like 30, 40% returns in a month. So I put in 300 grand, and it's like clockwork every day. It just boom, 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 and like, man, there's something to this, you know, Forex world. And it's funny. So then I invest with someone else. I had another guy who was a full-time trader, and he's like, you know, through a friend of a friend. So I put $250,000 with him and another couple hundred thousand somewhere else. And I'm, rather than just diversifying, like continuing to build real estate, I'm like, well, let me put something into it's a little more high risk. And I'm thinking I'm going to be diversified. Like, it's a high risk, but I'm going to do like three different,
right?
You know, $250,000,
yeah,
200,
different guys, different strategies, different everything.
Yeah. So even if one fails, the other two, and the returns are high enough,
sure.
And dude, like all three just blew up.
Wow.
But during this, I was like, I really want to understand trading. I love to learn, right? And so I was looking for, I'm like, how do I learn, you know, this? And so I'm on baby pips and I'm studying that. But I feel like I've done tons of coaching. I have a coaching company and a publishing company as well. So I'm selling, you know, $12,000 personal development coaching. I have in my own mastermind. And so I'm like, all right, let me find someone who sells high ticket coaching. And so that's where I met Clay.
That's crazy. Clay's sitting here in the studio, everybody. Yeah. We're going to do his video next. Yeah. That's crazy. So you went out almost $1 million on people trying to trade money for you, and none of it really played out long term.
That's right.
If everybody listening, I think that's a really good lesson. As much as we all want to hope and would love to just be able to give someone a bunch of money and see it grow, it's much harder to find a reliable trader.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going through that experience, did that motivate you to learn how to trade on your own at all? Like, where did you pick up the interest? Because you told me when we were just having breakfast, you were funded with my Forex funds, like me, and like a bunch of us. So you must have picked up interest in day trading at some point.
Yeah, I did, absolutely. So, you know, I learned to trade from Clay, and, I was not never an amazing trader, right? So break-even trader, make a little bit of
someone that says that's probably a decent trader because he's humble. The guys are like, I do 3,000% a month.
Bro. Oh, my God. Yeah, no. And it's interesting. Being the CEO of a prop firm and having, you know, people that you know saying, you know, I've got a signal strategy and it's, you know, cranks out 20% a month. And then when they get an account, you realize
you can see their trades.
Their signal strategy doesn't really work, right? Like they say it does.
Right.
It's interesting, right? So, but I had a, anyway, long story, but had a trading bot, had, you know, was building up a portfolio. And, getting paid out from my Forex funds every month, you know, very consistently. And that's what kind of got me in the prop firm world. Had a little over $1 million in funding through different companies and just had one of my bots that I had, you know, that was working, like doing 1 or 2% a month. Nothing
crazy.
And so my plan was, well, if I can build up $10, $20 million in funded accounts, then
2% a month, we're doing okay.
Yeah, we're good, right? Yeah. So, and then that's how I ended up meeting Clay. So,
and then at what point did you decide to say, I'm getting into the game. I'm going to get,
well, that was, yeah. Well, so that was through Clay. So I went through his coaching, was on his calls, like just, you know,
he motivated you to be like, yo, we can compete against these guys.
It's interesting because I reached out to him because he was essentially an affiliate for another funding company. And I was like, how's it going? Cause I'm looking to get another funded account. Right. I think at the time I had $1.3 million in funding. I'm like, I'm just going to build this. And he says, you know, it's crazy that you ask because I want to create my own, you know, full-fledged prop firm. Mm. And I didn't understand the back end, you know, and how everything worked. And so, you know, he educated me, put me on the phone with some other people. And, you know, once I finally understood it, I was like, wow, you know, like I've been working with all these other funds who I've blown tons of challenges. And it's for most of the companies, you can see from the outside, they're very poorly run.
For sure.
From a customer service standpoint,
even
like
worse.
Having waited, like sometimes waiting, you know, 48 hours to hear back. And when you're dealing with your money in the financial market, like you would expect to have great customer service.
100%.
And it's so terrible.
100%.
And then, you know, just like some experience is saying, wow, this is really bad. And most of the firms out there are like what I felt was a very much of a churn and burn money grab philosophy.
They didn't care if you actually pass.
We don't care if you pass. We don't care. Like, we'll not give you your account for no reason at all.
Which they could do, like, honestly. Like, yeah, and some of them have gotten away with that.
For sure.
They've banned traders. Yeah. I've seen on Twitter where they'll ban somebody for a certain reason where they don't have to justify it. They could just be like, hey, yeah, we're pulling the account of this person. You're done.
Yeah, and there is some amount. There's a lot of toxic traders. There's a lot of people trying to game the system, right? And a lot of times it's hard as a prop firm owner to know who's legitimate, who's not. And so we've invested heavily into software that really tracks it and analyzes it, right? But my feeling was, man, these companies are very transactional. I want to do something different. And so rather than being a purely transactional company, let's create relationships with traders. Let's create a transformational company, actually, you know, service people at a really high level so that they fall in love with us. They want to, you know, work with us long term, right?
And I think kind of why, well, I should say one of the reasons why I wanted to have this podcast solo with you was because I want people to hear about your background. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I've decided to work with you guys is because of your background. As much as Clay is a great-looking, really sharp guy, I really like both of you together. From my perspective, given to my audience, I've always been a guy that's like trying to build my reputation the right way. And that was what attracted you guys to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was where I have to keep that at the forefront. Yeah. So, okay, I have to make sure that this guy is going to take his previous business experience and come into this space and do right by the trader, not come in just for a transactional, oh, my business did this many million per month in transactions, because that's what a lot of these new guys make me feel like is like they want to be, hey, man, I did $4 million in revenue this month.
Yeah.
Well, how many of your traders are actually making money and also making money for your firm? Like the whole point of this business model, if you go back to the old school prop model, is you get really great traders to trade your money, the firm's money, and make the firm money.
That's it.
Not hope you get enough failures to come through your firm and blow a bunch of their earnings from their regular job on you.
That's it.
That's this new model now.
Yeah.
So I think that's where you guys are going to separate in 2024.
Well, that was our philosophy going in, is like, let's actually help people, right? And we know it's a hard market, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not easy to become a full-time trader. It's not easy to earn profits.
Some people are listening to this thinking, why would you even enter right now? Because it's so crowded.
Right. Well, it's been... We have exceeded all projections, and that's not like we don't care about being the biggest prop firm. I'm not here saying we're going to be the biggest prop firm. Our whole sole focus, we just want to be the best. If we focus on being the best, we'll be big, we'll be profitable, we'll do things right, people will trust us, they'll come back over and over, right? And so, you know, that's our philosophy, but we want to create, and what we believe is true, is that by creating real relationships with talented traders, we'll have a very successful internal fund. I mean, that is the ultimate goal for traditional prop firms, and it should be the goal for any prop firm, is to have a very successful, profitable internal fund, right? Where we're making money with traders long term. And my whole, you know, background in business has been in relationship building, right? Building people up and creating real relationships. And so that's one of the things that I saw from the outside looking in, like being very involved in trading and all that, but not... wasn't my life. You know, trading wasn't my life before Top One. And so I realized, like, this is something where I'm going to close my coaching business, close my essentially retire from anything to do with network marketing, and, you know, solely focus on this, because it's a big, big project.
Well, that is, you know, one of the questions that I was thinking about asking you, but I knew it would come out regularly. It's like, where's the hole? Because a guy, again, with your experience, is not going to go into a business and not see a problem that can then be solved by you.
Yeah.
Your whole is that. It's relationships. And I think it is huge, where if you look at these other firms, they are not focused on relationships as much as you guys are.
Yeah, and we're nowhere close to where we want to be, right? I mean, we're putting together, we've got a pretty exciting plan for this year to do events with traders and mentorship and all that. But, you know, we created a Top One Trader Blueprint, right? So when anyone buys any challenge with us, they actually get a coaching program, right? I mean, I invested thousands of dollars with Clay. I've had, you know, millions and millions of dollars with my coaching companies. I mean, like lots of millions of dollars invested. And so taking a lot of the... both the strategy side from Clay and then the mindset for me, it carries over, right? And so it's really just building people. We want to build traders from the inside out. And we know, and every successful trader says this from every, like, I've studied a ton, right? And it's always the same in any business. It's 90% mental.
It really
is. It's a mental game, right? And so, you know, we want to help create that transformation. And our thought is, like, we see so many traders blowing accounts, and we actually have training in place that's teaching them risk management. Like, here's how you need to be managing your risk with your account. And, you know, they still don't do it. It's like, as much as we want to help, and even personal friends of mine who've had accounts, and I'm like, brother, you're risking way too much per trade. You shouldn't be risking more than 0.5% per trade. Your drawdown's super thin now. Like, cut down your risk, and they just blow the account and buy another one. It's like, we want to work with you long term. It's right. Like,
you're really trying to, what you're saying is, I don't want to deal with the guys that are going to buy 5 accounts, fail 4 of them, and pass one of them in the same day.
That's it. And, you know, it's the YOLO trader.
The YOLO trader,
right? And it's super popular, which, you know.
Yeah. And I think that is, you know, again, from just the outside looking in, when you're, let's look at it, put aside that I have the following in the education business. If I'm a trader, I wouldn't want to be associated with a firm that's entertaining internet beef, or that is entertaining scammers, or that's entertaining the things in the industry that no one that's professional really likes.
Yeah.
I think the industry has a very clear divide. You have, like, the Lambo boys, and then you have the professionals. That's how I like to call it. I don't know how else to look at it. And I think you guys are catering towards the professionals, where there's some firms that don't care that they attract the guys that are trying to flip accounts and punt, and they want to do that, fine, like, deal with it. But what you're saying is, we're going to go about it a different way.
Yeah.
We're going to go for quality, not quantity, and we're going to take care of those quality traders better.
For sure. And we understand the quantity just comes, right?
It comes.
I mean, we have lots of those traders, and we welcome almost everyone unless they have toxic trading
of course
strategies.
But you also
we
see,
welcome,
like,
them, right? But
what a guy like me that gets education in, I have these guys that pay for the mentorship. These are guys with money.
Yeah.
These are the guys that are going to buy a bunch of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Really take it seriously, put them on a copy, or do it the right way and get funded and be someone that is going to be a bigger trader, but not be a bigger trader by risking their whole challenge account in one day. They're going to buy 4 challenges, put them on a copier, and run it like that, because then they see the power of capital.
Well, it's just the difference between having an entrepreneur mindset and a gambling mindset. There's
a
lot of traders who they look at it like it's a, you know, this is gambling, right? Let me buy 5 accounts and maybe I'll hit it big once.
Yeah.
And it just never works long term.
Right.
Like, maybe they'll get a payout, but ultimately, they're going to spend more on challenges than
100%.
They ever.
And you know what
sucks
is that guy is never ever going to be able to handle drawdown like a professional trader.
Yeah.
As soon as that guy goes into drawdown, like you just said, down 3%,
mm-hmm.
punt the whole account. I'll just
there
start
you
again.
Go. Yeah.
Instead of thinking like, okay, I want to learn how to do this for the long term. I want to be able to provide for my family and be sustainable here. They punt it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the toxic traits that you guys are trying to avoid.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
it's interesting.
Final question for now. So for everybody listening,
sure.
what we're going to do is we're going to do another podcast. You're going to hear from Clay and Matt, and it's going to be solely on Top One. So we kind of touched on Matt's story. We're finishing here with the funding company stuff, the prop firm stuff. So if you want to hear more about that, make sure you tune in for that episode. But final question for right now. What is one of the big things, big projects in the pipeline that you can share with the audience? This episode's going to come out in February of 2024.
Mm-hmm.
What can we look forward to in 2024 from Top One? Can we get a little inside information?
Sure. So one, it really revolves around that relationship side, right? And doing events with traders. And, you know, my background in is doing a lot of events, right? Very cool peak life experience type events all over the world. I've been to 84 different countries,
wow.
and I know most people want to go see the world. And so we want to create an opportunity where we can bring people into our environment where we're trading together, we're traveling together, we're doing masterminds on the beach, and bringing in our top traders. So we want to fly in our top traders and, you know, have that be a recognition piece, our top affiliates, our brand ambassadors, and, you know, bringing them, hey, come to, you know, come to Bora Bora with us, come to Hawaii with us, come to Cancun with us, right?
You heard it here first, everybody.
It's going to be fun.
We'll
it's
see.
It's going to be very fun.
We'll see where some of these events take us. But Matt, I appreciate you doing this, man. This has been super insightful. It's really, really good to hear your story. I think a lot of people are going to find not just the story, but the points that you made really relatable. And I think being a new firm, putting yourself out there, as you know, because you're a really good entrepreneur, this is what people want to hear. They want to see the authentic side of you guys. They want to see the real side of what's going on at Top One, because a lot of these firms operate under this veil of vagueness, where if I don't have to tell you, I'm not going to tell you. You guys, I think, are doing a great thing at kind of going it the opposite way. Let's put us out there. Let's get out there in front of people. Just so everybody knows, Clay and Matt are coming to the meetup tomorrow that I'm hosting in St. Pete. Like, they want to be out there shaking hands. That encouraged some of our guys who have bought challenges with them to fly from other states just for this meetup at a bar. So I think it's already like starting the new year with that good energy of bringing traders together and doing right by the community. So this has been great. For everybody that listened all the way through, we really appreciate you. I want you to go to the links in the description. Make sure you follow Matt on Instagram. Are you on Twitter, Matt?
I am. Not active on Twitter.
So Instagram's better to send him
Instagram's
to?
Instagram's great.
Cool.
Perfect.
Make sure you connect with Matt on Instagram. Make sure you're following Top One. And remember, we have a ASFX discount code, 20% off. Right now, there's probably some other promo running because they run great deals. Use the link and the ASFX code. That'll give you the best discount and the best promotional offer that they have for you. So that's linked down below. But for now, we'll put a pin in it. We appreciate you guys listening, watching, tuning in. Make sure you're subscribed, and we'll see you in the next one.